ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, titled The Song of the Avanti Brahman. Text number 33.
Tam vai pravayasam bhikshum.
Tam vai pravayasam bhikshum.
Avadhudam asajjanaha.
Avadhutam asajjanaha.
Drishtva parya bhavan bhadra. Bahubhi paribhudibhi.
Tam.
Him.
Why?
Indeed.
Paryavasam.
Old.
Bhikshum.
The
beggar.
Avadhutam,
unclean.
Asat,
low class.
Janaha,
persons.
Drishtva,
seen.
Paryabhavan,
dishonored.
Bhadra,
O
kind Uddhava.
Abhvibhihi,
with many.
Paribhudibhihi,
insults.
Translation.
O kind Uddhava, seeing him as an old dirty beggar, rowdy persons would dishonor him with many insults.
So there is no purport, so we'll read forward. Actually, we had to read quite a few verses, so you can listen carefully.
Kejitruvenam jagru ege patram kamandalam Pitham cha ke kshasutram cha kantham chirani kechana padyancha punastani dashendi ador mune.
Translation. Some of this person would take away his sannyasi robe and some the water pot which he was using as a begging bowl. Some took his deer skin seat, some his standing beads, and some would steal his torn ragged clothing. Displaying these things before him, they would pretend to offer them back, but would then hide them again.
Annam cha bhikshya sampannam bhunjanasya sarittate mutrayanti cha pabishtha stishvanti cha muradhani.
When he was sitting on the bank of a river, able to partake of the food that he had collected by his begging, such sinful rascals would come and pass urine on it, and they would dare to spit on his head.
Yata vacham vachayanti tadananti na vakti chet tarjayanti upare vagbhi sthenoyam iti vadina bhatnandi rajvatam kejit bethyatam bethyatam iti.
Although he had taken a vow of silence, they would try to make him speak, and if he did not speak, they would beat him with sticks. Others would chastise him, saying, "This man is just a thief," and others would bind him up with rope, shouting, "Tie him up, tie him up."
Kshibantyege vajananata ehe dharma thaja shanta kshine vitta imam vrittim agrahitsva janojitaha.
They would criticize and insult him, saying, "This man is just a hypocrite and a cheat. He makes a business of religion simply because he lost all his wealth and his family threw him out."
Aho esha mahasaro dhriman giriradiva maunena sadhyat artham bhagavat dritham nishaya iti eka vihasantyenam ega durvatyanaticha tam badandhur niruruddhur yatha krida anegam dvijam.
Some would ridicule him by saying, "Just see this greatly powerful sage. He is as steadfast as Himalayan mountain. By practice of silence, he strives for his goal with great determination, just like a duck." Other persons would pass foul air upon him, and sometimes others would bind this twice-born Brahmana in chain and keep him captive like a pet animal. Evam sa bhautikam dukham daivikam daihikam chayat bhoktavyam atmanodishtam praptam abudhyata. Translation: the Brahmana understood that all his suffering from other living beings, from higher forces of nature, and from his own body was unavoidable, being allotted to him by providence. So here is a small purport, so we'll speak on that. So here's a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. Many cruel persons harassed the Brahmana, and his own body caused him suffering in the form of fever, hunger, thirst, fatigue, etc. The higher forces of nature are those that cause excessive heat, cold, wind and rain. The Brahmana realized that his suffering was due to his false identification with his material body and not due to the interaction of his body with external phenomena. Rather than try to adjust his external situation, he tried to adjust his Krishna consciousness and thus realize his actual identity as eternal spirit soul.
Om Ajnana Pimarandasya Jnananjana Salakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So here we have a series of verses describing how the Brahmin from Avanti reacted to the sinful deeds of people around him, who couldn't actually understand his exalted nature. It was mentioned in the previous verses that even though this Brahmin from Avanti was very exalted, he didn't exhibit his exalted nature. He hid himself. Even though he was traveling, he was meeting so many different people, still nobody could actually understand his highly advanced spiritual nature. So it is very obvious from his activities how great he is. If we see, these people, it's mentioned the rowdy people, they were insulting him. They were trying to annoy him in so many different ways. Still, he did nothing. This is pretty much contrary to our thoughts, our actions and our consciousness in many respects. If somebody sometimes, at least happens to me, if somebody tries to even correct me with a goodwill, considering as a well-wisher, we take it as an offense. We consider it as an insult. So what to speak about if somebody is trying to insult purposefully? So here, Avanti Brahman, even though he didn't act externally, he was internally completely aware of the situation. He knew what was actually going on. Actually, nobody can fool him. If somebody is stealing his rag clothes and if somebody is keeping it aside and after that giving him as putting him in the begging bowl or showing him up, he knows what's really going on, but he didn't react. He tolerated all these different activities. Just like Jada Bharat. He was doing nothing. When Jada Bharat was attacked, even when Jada Bharat was fed all different kinds of foodstuff which are quite abominable, he did nothing. He just ate and he was considering it as nectar. He just took it and he just ate it. He didn't react. Even though he was highly intelligent, he acted himself as dumb. So when his stepbrothers they thought, okay, the best job for his man-like, you know, animal-like man would be to put him in the field so that he can actually chase away crows. And he took, okay, it's a wonderful opportunity. He internally meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So external is one thing and the internal is another thing. We can act as devotees. We can have fresh clothes, nice tilak, shaved up head. That's the difference between non-devotees sometimes and the devotees. But that in itself doesn't make us devotees. So there is the internal mood that is shown by Avanti Brahman. So reacting to insult, I was thinking of a couple of pastimes. One was with Srivas Thakur. Chapal Gopal was trying to insult him because that time the nocturnal kirtan was going on in Srivas Thakur's house and Mahaprabhu and all other associates, they were dancing in ecstasy. And the whole night kirtan would go on. So Chapal Gopal, he was an atheistic man and he was completely annoyed with this. And he wanted to defame, he wanted to dishonor Srivas Thakur. So in the morning, in the night, what he did, he put a banana leaf and different paraphernalia to worship Kali, Durga. And apart from that, he kept a pot of wine also. That also includes the paraphernalia to worship Kali, Durga Devi. So in the morning, the whole idea was he wanted to portray Srivas Thakur as a non-devotee, as a low-class man. So when morning Srivas Thakur opened his door, he saw in front of his door all this paraphernalia. And Srivas Thakur could understand what was the intention behind this. So he himself called upon all his neighbors and he said, please everyone come and see what kind of activities I am doing during the night. And, you know, I am such a low class man. Please everyone, please see my real condition. So Srivas Thakur, he accepted. He understood his enemies wanted to see him in this particular way. He said, okay, it's fine for me. I don't have any trouble. He accepted. But however, the neighboring devotees, they understood. He tried to find out who is that sinful man who put all these things to defame Srivas Thakur. So this is the one example how an exalted devotee react to such kind of insults and annoying situations. We can see the same thing in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. When he was staying in Jagannath Puri, that was after taking his sannyas, and he was staying with his few associates in Jagannath Puri in Gambhira. Then there was this man, he was also a sannyasi, who wanted to actually criticize Mahaprabhu. That was none other than Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri, he was actually disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who is the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, he did a mistake. The time of disappearance of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So, Madhavendra Puri was on his deathbed and he was actually crying. And two disciples were there, very nearby him. One was Ishwara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Mahaprabhu, and his godbrother, that was Ramachandra Puri. So, Madhavendra Puri was giving an intimate association for both his disciples and giving intimate opportunity to serve him at this last stage of his life. However, when Madhavendra Puri started crying, Ishwara Puri could understand why he was crying. There was a transcendental reason behind that. However, Ramachandra Puri, he couldn't understand. He said, one should actually come to the Brahman platform. As Bhagavad Gita says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Na Shochati Na Chakamshati. So he mentioned, okay, one should come to the Brahman platform because then there is no question of suffering like this. Now that you are crying why? Because you are actually suffering because of the threefold miseries. Here we can see the Avanti Brahman, he is not crying. He is beyond the threefold miseries. But we can see Madhavendra Puri, he was crying. Even though he was a liberated soul. So there was a reason behind his crying. He was actually crying out of separation. He was actually pouring his heart out. It was an ecstatic symptom. So tears were flowing from his eyes. He was actually chanting the verse in which Srimati Radharani is calling out for Krishna, because Krishna has left Vrindavan and he is in Mathura now. So he is actually calling Lord Krishna as the Lord of Mathura, because now you are with the queens of Mathura, so I am feeling separation. So in the same mood, which is the highest bhava, the highest mood of Vipralampa, in which Madhavendra Puri was actually crying, he was shedding his tears. And at the same time, here his dear disciple Ramachandra Puri, he is telling, okay, please come to the liberated platform, come above the three modes of material nature. So here his spiritual master is on the highest of the transcendental platform, and his disciple is telling, okay, you get out from the three modes of material miseries. So Madhavendra Puri became extremely upset. The reason is, here he is in an ecstatic mood, and his foolish disciple is advising him, okay, come now, okay, merge into Brahman so that there won't be any suffering. He was really started thinking, okay, in what situation am I in? Look, my disciple, he is such a fool, and he is advising me, okay, now merge into the impersonal Brahman, which a devotee never wants. As you know, Prabhupada Saraswati says, Kaivalyam Narakayate. That is Kaivalyam, or the oneness with the Supreme Lord, it is as good as or as bad as Naraka, as bad as going to the hellish situation. So that is the position of the devotees, and his disciple is advising him, okay, now go beyond the three modes of material nature. So due to this offense, it was a great offense, that too at the time of death. That is the time one has to remind one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at that point, he actually committed this offense. So due to this offense, he fell down. So Madhavendra Puri said, no, I don't want to see your face anymore. You go away from here. So Ramachandra Puri had to leave. And he came to Jagannath Puri later. And in Jagannath Puri, one of his main activity was, he will find fault in others, especially in sannyasis. He was a great critic, not in a positive sense, but he wants to find some fault. Of course, we also have such kind of tendencies. If there is some fault, we will easily see. It's very easy to see fault. But if there is any good things, it is very difficult to see. So Ramachandra Puri actually shows this. That is, how to find fault. Not in a positive way, but in a negative way. So, his one pastime or one activity was, he will ask many householders to invite him for prasadam, and he will demand very high class prasadam. He said, no, normal prasadam is not enough, more varieties, high quality. So he would go, he will have, because grihasthas, he will say, okay, it is their duty to serve sannyasis, so they were happy, they will invite him. After accepting the whole prasadam, he will say, look, you are actually trying to test me. You are trying to break my sannyas vows. You are trying to test my sense control by offering this kind of opulent prasadam. So this was his activity. Then he didn't spare anyone, including Lord Chaitanya. So he would go and he would visit Lord Chaitanya. And when he reaches there, the first aim is to find out what is their mistakes, what are the faults that I can find. Mahaprabhu, however, whenever he sees Ramachandra Puri, he would pay obeisances, considering him as his guru, because he is the godbrother of his guru, Ishwar Puri. Okay, he would go there, he will see, he will sit with him for some time, then he will go. But every day, it was said, every day Ramachandra Puri would go and meet the Lord, with the same intention, that to find the fault. But he tried hard, and Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and cannot exist any fault in him. Still, he was trying. And at last one day came. And on that day, he found so many ants in the room of Mahaprabhu. Then immediately he started saying, what kind of sannyasi is he? Because there are so many ants because he is eating too much sweets during the night. And now how will he control his senses if he is acting like this? And he started criticizing him in front of everyone. So Mahaprabhu didn't say anything. He understood, but he didn't say anything. He didn't protest. So this is an exalted quality. That is, he didn't protest. He didn't try to defend himself. Because in the material world, one of the highest propensity is to defend. When we say, you know, the propensity of eating, mating, sleeping and defending, the propensity to defend is very high. It can be in so many different forms. That is, it can be by words. If somebody is criticizing, immediately we try to defend. No, I didn't do that. Maybe sometimes it could be very genuine, but still you say, no, I didn't do that. No, that was due to the other person. So that is a propensity to defend. So Mahaprabhu didn't show that. He tolerated Trinada Bisunijena Taroro Bisahishnana. He actually manifested that. He didn't show that at all. Just like we can see in Avanti Brahman, he didn't show anything. And instead, he did one thing. Mahaprabhu called upon Govinda and said, Govinda, look, from tomorrow onwards, I am going to eat only 1/4 of what I am eating now. So hearing this, Govinda, it was like a thunderbolt hitting on him, because now onwards Mahaprabhu is going to starve, practically. He said, if you bring anything more, then you will not see me anymore. I will go away from here. So it was a heavy instruction for Govinda. So Govinda accepted, and from that day onwards, he was eating only 1/4. That was a very heavy punishment he took upon himself, though being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the time passed, and in that purport, actually Srila Prabhupada writes, that is about the ants. Prabhupada says, ants are there everywhere. Doesn't matter even if there is sweets or not, but ants are there anywhere. So this was just a false criticism on Mahaprabhu. There was nothing true behind that. And it is mentioned that till Ramachandra Puri left Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu continued his very, very low diet, eating only a little, just to survive. And when it comes to the higher atrocities that these people have committed, that is, spitting on his head, beating him up, tying him, and if he doesn't speak anything, beat him up to the Avanti Brahman. The same pastime has been manifested by Haridas Thakur. He was beaten up in how many marketplaces? 21 or 22? 22 marketplaces. Then what happened? He didn't die. Interesting enough. The aim was to kill him by beating him in 22 marketplaces. Did he die? No. Actually, who was beating him, they became quite afraid. After all this torture, they became afraid. And then Haridas Thakur asked him, why are you quite afraid? He said, if we can't kill you, then we will be killed by the Nawab. So then Haridas Thakur said, he was so compassionate, he said, okay, I will die. He just collapsed immediately. Then they took him and put him in Ganges. Still, he didn't die. After some time, he came back. So it was actually due to the mercy of Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu in the Mahaprakash Leela, he says, he reveals all the truths to different devotees. And when it came to Haridas Thakur, he told us, you know that you were beaten in 22 marketplaces? Haridas Thakur said, yes. But Haridas Thakur said, by your mercy, you know, I didn't feel anything. Mahaprabhu said, yes, you didn't feel anything, because he actually opened his chest and, you know, his back, and he showed, and he could, Haridas Thakur could see all the beatings, all the whip marks on the back of Mahaprabhu. So actually Mahaprabhu took all the pain, and Haridas Thakur didn't feel any pain at all. So these are examples of great devotees who have dealt with these kind of different kinds of insults, physical tortures, etc. Now, in this purport, it is mentioned how this Avanti Brahman could tolerate everything, all these different kinds of atrocities. So it is mentioned, it is because he didn't identify himself with the body. So even though we hear this so many different times, okay, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul, but to realize to the fullest degree, it is such a high thing. So Avanti Brahman actually manifests how one is acting as spirit soul, completely separate from the gross and subtle body. Prabhupada says in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is, how we are actually identifying with the body and how we are not. When one is pure, how one is not identifying with the body, and one is impure, how one is identifying completely with the body. He says, it is because of the absorption. So the pure devotees are completely absorbed in the spirit and the conditioned souls are completely absorbed in matter. So the absorption is a common thing, one in the matter and one in the spirit. So depending on the absorption, there are different realities. We think as different realities. As in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita says, Ya nisya sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyami. So when, for everyone, when is a night time to sleep, that is a waking time for the devotees, for the great transcendentalists. Whereas it is the opposite. When they are in sleep, the materialists are completely inactive. It has literally, it is true, that is, devotees are getting up what time? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, like that. And if you go on a Saturday or Sunday night, when the outside, the karmi people, when are they sleeping? After the party and everything? 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever. So, when they are sleeping, we are actually getting up. So, literally that is true. But, on the other side, in terms of consciousness, there is a deep meaning to it. For us, even for practicing devotees, when we are in the neophyte state, like me, the transcendental life itself is like a dream. We know that there is a reality, but it's like a dream. It's not really factual. We haven't really realized what is the spiritual life, what really happens in the spiritual world, and how is 100% absorbed in the spiritual life. So that is just like a dream for us, even for the practicing devotees. And it is mentioned, Prabhupada mentioned, and for a devotee who is completely above the material modes, who is completely in the transcendental platform, for him material life is just like a dream. It's not real for him. It is just like a dream, that's it. So this is the contrast between us and a pure devotee. For us, pure devotion service is like a dream. And for a pure devotee, the material life is just like a dream. These are two parallel worlds, simultaneously exist. It's just like work and home. If somebody goes to work, somebody is completely absorbed in the work atmosphere. He doesn't think so much of home. It's completely there. And at home, it's difficult to think about the work. Like two different worlds. In the same way, there are multiple worlds existing. And even in the material world, there are so many different worlds in that sense. At least there is a gross world and there is a subtle world. Grossly, we can see nice dress, you know, dressed up, whatever. That is one world. And internally, there is something else going on. So again, multiple worlds, even in the material realm, if you really look at it. Now, once one is identifying with the body, as Avanti Brahman is telling, okay, the whole reason for my suffering is, okay, identification with the body for the conditioned souls. And Avanti Brahman is not identifying with the body. He very nicely mentions in two verses later, I will just do a forward reference, where what is the cause of his for all the suffering, or what is the cause of all these disturbances to him? He says, Nayam jano me sugha dukha hetur. He says, Nayam jano. Jana means the people. All these people around who are doing all this nonsense to him, na hetu. They are not the hetu. They are not the reason for all these activities. Sukha dukha hetu. They are not the reason for happiness, nor are they reason for their suffering. So this is the first point Avanti Brahman is making. Then he says, Na devatatma graha karma kala. Na devatatma, nor devatas, all these demigods. Even demigods are not the real reason for his own suffering. Na graha karma kala. So he is also telling, okay, it is not even graha. Graha means? No, that's graha. Graha. Planet. Planet. Graha means planet. So if we have, there is a general tendency, if we have some problem or some difficulty comes, immediately go to an astrologer. Immediately bring the chart and go to the astrologer. We can see around the world, you know, it's quite prominent. Any problem, go to the astrologer. And that's how they live. So in the time of difficulties, what do we think? If we develop the habit of going to astrologer all the time, that at the time of difficulties, we think about astrologer, not about Krishna. Anyway, here it is not bad because if you are going to Gangeshwar Prabhu, he is a senior devotee. So if you think about a devotee, that's not too bad. But otherwise, if you are actually depending completely on the astrology, on the chart, all the you know, due course of our time, then it is really bad, because we will forget the hand of Krishna in all these things. Then he continues, he says, Manaparam Karanam Amananti. Okay. Manaparam Karanam. So the ultimate cause is mana. It is the mind that is creating all these troubles. It's not anything else. We can't point finger to anyone but our own mind. As Prabhupada says in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, mind is the reason for both the liberation as well as conditioning. Karanam, both moksha as well as bandhana. Both moksha and bandhana, both are actually caused by mind alone. So when we talk about mind, the mind, the absorption of mind when it is in the matter, then we are completely conditioned. And for a pure being, the absorption of mind is in the spirit, in Krishna, in the transcendental loving service to Krishna. So this is the difference. Now, how a devotee can come to this platform? That is, if you see Avanti Brahman, he was aloof from this material dualities, he was aloof from insults, because he was completely absorbed in devotional service. He was completely internally active. He was externally inactive, but internally he was active, very much. So the absorption in the devotional service is the reason why he could actually tolerate everything. It's not an external show, because nobody can do external show for a long time. For some time one could, after that it will go away. So Avanti Brahman was consistent because of this reason, because of internal absorption in Krishna consciousness. So if you see any of the example before, who actually went through the torture, still got unaffected, it is only because of absorption in the devotional service. So Lord Brahma says the famous verse, we have, you know, in last week or so somebody was quoting the same verse, that is, how one devotee should react to the external suffering. That is, tatenukampam susumikshamano bhunjana eva atma kritam vipagam hridvak vaburphir vidadhan namaste jiveteyo muktipade sadayabhak. So it's very clearly mentioned, Lord Brahma says, one has to see it as, whatever suffering happens, one has to see it as anukampa. Anukampa means mercy, mercy of the Lord. And not only that, okay, seeing it as mercy of the Lord, one should use three things. Hrit, vak, vapu. Hrit means one's own heart. Vak means one's own words. And vapu means one's own body in service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the point is, one has to absorb oneself in devotional service right from the heart. Means it has to be quite deep. That absorption in devotional service, in bhakti, that is recommended. And if we have that, that is the only point one can actually see a difficulty is as tatenukampa, to see it as mercy of the Lord. Otherwise one cannot see. If there is no absorption in devotional service, then there is no possibility of seeing whatever happens as mercy of the Lord. We can see the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni, when the only affection he was getting was from his mother. It is mentioned that Narada Muni's mother tied him with the rope of affection. So in the world, only relation he had was his mother, and for his mother, only Narada Muni. However, due to the association with the great sages, by the Bhakti Vedantas, he developed that attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, in due course of time, they left after the rainy season, and in due course of time, the mother was bitten by a snake. The same time, Narada Muni says, I understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is giving benediction to his devotees all the time. It's not just sometime or once. He's mentioning Supreme Personality of Godhead is giving benediction to his devotees all the time. And due to that, I understood this is blessing of the Supreme Lord. Then he understood, okay, this is the opportunity for me to advance in my spiritual life. So he left to the north. And then he traveled and he actually realized, he saw Krishna. So this is a very wonderful example how Narada Muni, actually, he saw the mercy of the Lord, as Lord Brahma says in the 14th chapter of 10th canto, Tathena Kambam Susamikshamano. And the reason is, Narada Muni was absorbed and he had already developed a taste in devotion service due to association with the Bhakti Vedantas. Now, even when we speak about Tathena Kambam verse, actually there is a reason. It's very interesting because of, to see the verse before. So Lord Brahma is not just telling, okay, now you have to see everything as mercy of the Lord and you be absorbed completely in the devotional service unto the Supreme Lord. The verse before that, actually, Lord Brahma says, Gunatmanaste Gunan Vimatum Hitvavatirnasya Ka Isharasya. He says, O Lord, you have to understand that Lord Brahma is standing right in front of Krishna and he says, you are Gunatma. You are actually manifestation of all the good qualities. So, since you have all the good qualities, so now we can actually surrender unto Him. Seeing all these good qualities, one can actually understand you have the mercy. So, one can see this is mercy of the Lord. So, He's actually glorifying the Supreme Lord, having possessing all the good qualities. And so, understanding, when one understands the Lord has all the good qualities, okay, now one can surrender unto the Lord. And here, Avanti Brahman, interesting enough, if the verse actually progresses, Avanti Brahman actually sings a song. So, Avanti Brahman was telling, okay, mind is the foremost reason for my suffering. Avanti Brahman was mentioning, that is actually the first verse of Bhikshu Gita, the song sung by Avanti Brahman. And in due course, in one verse, actually Avanti Brahman says, how he was actually able to tolerate in the deepest level. And he actually shows his determination, how he is just like a mountain, he is able to withstand whatever atrocities all these people are performing. He says, Eshamta astaya parathanishtam adhyasitam purvatamayir maharshibhi aham tarishyami durandaparam tamo mukundankri nisheva eva. He says, the material suffering is insurmountable. That is Duranta Param. Param means such a great distance. And this Duranta. Duranta means everything, you know, it's completely negative. There is nothing positive about it. Duranta Param. And it is Tama. It is dark. However, he says, Eshamta Astaya. However, I am fixing into Parathanishtham. That is, fixing myself onto the Super Soul. Seeing the presence of the Lord everywhere. Adhyasitam Purvatamayar Maharshibhi. And this path is being delineated by all the great sages. And with that I am saying, Aham Tarishyami Durantaparam. So, Aham Tarishyami. I will cross over the insurmountable ocean of material suffering. Avanti Brahman is sailing. And what is the key process? Tamo Mukuntankri Nisheva Eva. That is by Mukuntankri. That is the serving the lotus feet of Krishna. By complete dedication to the service unto the lotus feet of Krishna, I can cross over the insurmountable mountain of nascence. So this is the process that Avanti Brahman is actually putting forth. So when we see all these qualities, all this series of insults and series of miseries that is imposed on him by other living entities, by his own body, by the material nature, still, he is actually crossing beyond all these things because of intense devotion to Mukunda, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this absorption is a very interesting example that is given in Nectar of Devotion, that is of sharks in the ocean. So devotees are always compared to sharks in the ocean. Those who are very advanced, they are deep inside the ocean. One may think, why the shark example is given to represent devotees? You know, shark is not such a nice, but it is, the point is, it is very deep in the ocean, and the fisherman cannot catch a shark. He can, if somebody is on the surface, you know, small, you know, fishes, you know, anyone can actually catch. So neophytes are like pretty much like this, that is on the surface. Anytime it can be caught by the net of Maya. When the Maya catches, you know, throws, then we can actually go. And we are finished. However, the great devotees, they are deep inside the ocean. And they are massive. And they cannot be caught by the net of a fisherman. That is called absorption. Such a deep absorption these great devotees had. You can see Avanti Brahman and so many other devotees. Yesterday, we were discussing a nice pastime of Kunti Devi in Bhakti Vaibhav course. Gangeshwar Prabhu was very nicely explaining and the very nice discussion was going on. So there we came upon the verse, which is a very famous verse by Kunti Devi. So whenever we hear about Kunti Devi's prayer, one verse always comes to discussion. Anyone knows which is that? Exactly. Vipata santudasya tatra datra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yatsya apanar bhava darshanam. So when we talk about this verse, first point, what is the first point that is coming about? What is the first point that is striking? Calamity, exactly. So when this verse comes, Kunti Devi is praying for calamities. Okay, let more and more calamities come in my life so that I can see Krishna. That is the essential point in this verse. However, whenever I have heard this verse, always we think, oh, never, you know, who is going to pray like this? Okay, Kunti Devi, she is an exalted devotee. Her consciousness is so far, so high, far out. I'm never going to pray like this. Because a calamity already, even if you pray or not, so many calamities are coming. And it is even difficult to deal with that. And we hear the prayer of Lord Brahma, Tatenukampam, even to understand and to apply so much of difficulty. So now on top of that, we had to pray, okay, let more and more calamities come. So we never think about that. So this was my understanding of this verse. Whenever this verse I hear or whenever talk about Kunti Devi, this point used to come, hit me all the time. And many other devotees. Recently I was visiting one Mataji in the hospital. So Mataji was also telling me, oh, Kunti, you know, she told, okay, you had to speak something about Kunti Devi. So she was telling, you know, her response was, okay, look, you know, already enough suffering. who is going to pray like this? Kunti Devi. It's not practical. So I was sort of thinking, till yesterday's discussion, there was a very wonderful point that came about regarding Kunti Devi, the exalted consciousness of Kunti Devi. That was, yes, Kunti Devi is praying like this. However, the crux, the importance or the key point of this verse is not the calamities. Only yesterday I understood. The key point is her absorption in Krishna and the sweetness of Krishna, the sweetness of association with Krishna. So the sweetness of association with Krishna is so great, so immense and so intense that Kunti Devi is telling, for her, calamity is nothing. Because the association with Krishna is so sweet. So her absorption in Krishna is so intense, so she is telling calamities doesn't matter. So for her, it is just like a dream. Calamities are not real for her, because for her there is no calamities first of all. So it is just a dream. And so she is telling, okay, let me get association of Krishna. So she is actually only interested in Krishna. And the last line is, bhavato darshanam yasya apunarbhava darshanam. And she is also mentioning, okay, because of that, apunarbhava darshanam. So there is no question of repeated birth and death. So it is not that she is asking for liberation. No, she is already liberated. And she is not afraid of the calamities. And of the highest calamity is apunarbhava darshanam. That is, again, repeated birth and death. So if Krishna is there, there is no question of repeated birth and death. And so she is not interested in liberation and she is not interested in material suffering. Of course, not in happiness. She is only interested in Krishna. So the verse is actually showing the intense devotion and intense absorption in sweetness of Krishna. So yesterday I was trying to understand this point. Apart from the calamity point, which was, you know, discussed and, you know, understood, you know, so many times. So here, in this context, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by anyone of the nine devotional service is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. So it is for, it's a purport to Kunti Devi's prayer. So for Kunti Devi, she is completely realized it's just a dream for her, this calamity. So for her, calamity doesn't exist. It's just like a joke, doesn't matter. Now, when we try to understand, okay, we can understand, okay, absorption in devotion service is the one actually going to help us. Because that is the only way we can actually deal with the material world. Then, how can we actually absorb in devotion service on a practical sense? So we have to consider, you know, the main items of devotion service. Chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, worshipping the deities, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, living in the holy places. When we see this, the main items of bhakti, the Panjanga bhakti, one has to develop more absorption in these things. So I was thinking, how can we actually develop this absorption? On a practical level, the problem, as Avanti Brahman is pointing out, the problem is our mind. If you are trying to chant, mind is disturbing us. If you are trying to sit and read Bhagavatam, in 10 minutes, the mind, you know, mind gives so many reasons, so many important other services to do, or important personal services to do, so many reasons will come about. So the mind is the key issue, the mind is the key problem. So I was thinking about one instruction I got, that was, slow down the mind. So what is the meaning of slow down the mind? Because mind is absorbed in the matter. The mind is completely absorbed in the materialistic thought or this or that thing, deviations. So slowing down the mind means get rid of the material thoughts or get out from the passion, mode of passion, come to goodness. That's what is required. That is from the passionate mind to develop the mode of goodness in the mind. So even it's practically we can see, if you try to chant, initially the mind is going everywhere, but if we try to fix the mind, slowly we can get into chanting. If we try to read, initially we may not be listening, we may not be getting much, then if we actually fix, we can really go into it. Same with hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. If you are not sleeping, and if the mind is going everywhere, then actually slowly one can bring the mind to Bhagavatam and just absorb in it. It can take some time because the mind is wild, it is going in so many different directions because it is affected by the mode of passion. The Bhagavad Gita says, you know, Shane Shane Paramayat Bhutya Dhrati Grihedaya. So the point is Bhutya Dhrati Grihedaya. Shane Shane, that is slowly if we have to come down, the mind, if it has to slow down, then one has to use one's intelligence. So the point of mind control is by intelligence. So Bhutya, by intelligence, if one has to think, what am I doing? I have to bring my mind to this because otherwise I am wasting time. One has to use intelligence to slow down one's mind and get to the point of absorbing in devotion service. So this point is applicable in all the respects, in all the devotion service. Second point I was thinking, one has to actually do more service in which one has more taste. That is, we do all the services and we engage in the five main items of devotion service. We cannot neglect any of those. But if somebody has a taste, a particular taste for something, one can do something extra. If somebody likes to chant, then chant extra. If somebody likes to do kirtan, do some extra kirtan. So that we can actually develop a little bit more taste. Because finally, only with the taste we can get more absorption. So for that, put something extra. If somebody likes to read Bhagavatam, read some extra Bhagavatam and be meditative and think more about Bhagavatam. So it is not giving up any other kind of devotional service, but getting a little deep into one thing in which you have natural inclination for something. So in that actually we can develop that taste. And that will help all other items of devotional service also. It's not just we have to stick to that alone. It will actually pull everything up. So we can naturally, the absorption in all other items of devotional service will also naturally increase. So today we actually went through how Avanti Brahman has gone through all the suffering. Still, he didn't blame or complain everything. He actually understood the root cause of the problem. And ultimately he engaged himself in the devotion service and is actually determined to cross over the material suffering by the dint of devotion service unto the lotus feet of Krishna. So here we see, is there any questions, corrections or comments of any of these points? Yes, Prabhu.
When we see in the congregation today, So many nice devotees are going through a very bad time.
Yeah.
In fact, today they affect the area for that.
Yeah.
So that for their good health, three of them, Mataji's, were in hospital.
Yeah.
Last week was very overwhelming at some point in time, because the feeling was, why is this happening to devotees who are so nice and fixed
yeah.
in Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. So at that time, then there was some new meanings which are coming.
Right? Mm.
We read the Avanti Brahmana pastime in that light.
Mm.
Because when we are actually experiencing, we understand the Bhagavad
yeah.
more than at these times.
Mm.
So, if we see here Avanti Brahmana, on one hand he is already going away from material life. He has already gone away from material life. And now he is getting more and more hit
yes.
by society.
Yeah.
People are insulting him. Same thing we also face in corporate life. That more and more we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we feel that the interest in material life and in your vertical growth or whatever that, that diminishes gradually. And it's very quick for the people in the office to spot that
yeah.
in our lives. And sometimes we are sidelined or we are ridiculed.
Mm.
So people can't just relate to us.
Mm.
We can't relate to their activities.
Mm.
So and that gives a lot of sometimes you feel down. And this was the situation few weeks back. And when I was reading this, I chanced upon the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 88th chapter, where the 8th verse, Lord, the verse is Nityaham Anugrahanami, where it is mentioned that the Lord starts interfering in our lives whenever, and in Prabhupada writes in the purport that the Lord takes away
everything.
He's called as Hari because he takes away everything. And interestingly, it is mentioned that Prabhupada, the purport says, that the Lord interferes even in the life of a neophyte devotee. And even for him, the Lord personally starts now taking charge of his life and his and gives him reactions personally. So, the verse concludes with the purport that when devotees go through sufferings, it may externally seem so that it's because of karmic reactions, just like the non-devotee is suffering.
Yes.
But here, the Lord is just trying to detach us from the very cause that we are attached to.
Yes.
So if we are attached, for example, too much to our family, then the Lord will put something such that we get detachment from that.
Mm.
Or if we are too attached to the job, we create a situation there by which we get detached.
Mm.
So this understanding is something which can sustain us in Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
And of course, the only prayer is that we don't forget this teaching. Otherwise, when things become too overwhelming, one can then go towards atheism, saying that we can be a nice devotee, but why?
Yeah.
So this chapter is very profound in that sense, to help us see through such situations.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for the comment. Any questions or comments? Yes, bro.
Shastras say that the issues are independent free. We became so rebellious and then we jump into the material world, and then from that time we have been suffering here due to rebellious condition to God's system. And then how to cure this disease of rebellious condition? And this whole devotional process to help us cure that mental disease. How do we understand first, this is what is making us suffering?
If we don't align with God's nature, then there is, has to be suffering for that because of the day. So how do we practically understand that and meditate and gradually we come out of that? Do devotional service, understand the Shastra, do devotional service, one will get the realization.
Proper understanding.
Yeah. Do you want
to
service?
Want to
understand? Yes, Prabhu.
One more time. Serve the spiritual master.
Serve the spiritual master, yes. Yes,
Prabhu. On the temple etiquette outside the door, it says before you come into the temple, wash your hands and wash your mouth. I never knew that until this year.
Okay. Thank you.
Prabhupada was asking a question about the end of the day, if you said you become conscious of me, you pass over all the obstacles or conditions of life by my grace. So, we are conscious and there is no diminished nothing.
Thank you.
We are here responsible for our suffering.
Yeah.
At least we can't blame Krishna for suffering. So, why Krishna again giving us all these difficulties?
Difficulties?
Yeah. Not like difficulties, it's for good. So, we have to go through, you know, certain tests, which is difficult for us. Is that for atonement or you have to accept that?
Yeah. From your personal point of view, from a devotee perspective, you are talking?
Yeah.
As Prabhuji was pointing out, now, generally everyone is going through the action and concomitant reaction. Is it fine? Everyone. Is it good or bad? One is getting reaction. For good, good reaction, pious. For bad, bad reaction. So that we call it as karma, reaction. So now the question is, when we are becoming devotees, when we are devotees, why are we still going through different reactions? So, for a devotee, always there is Krishna's hand. And Krishna uses these reactions, one's karma, to purify us. To purify us. So when we go through that reaction, it's an opportunity for one to rise above that and one to become more absorbed in devotional service, to become more dependent on Krishna. So that will actually purify one. So it is actually only for the purification that Krishna gives such punishment. It is given the example, a loving father, he will give his kids some gifts, and he will give sometimes chastisement and beating also. Both are for his good. both for his good. Is it correct? You may have experience. So. So both are for his good. So Krishna is actually acting as a loving father. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Madhya Srimad Bhagavatam ki.